Just because Valentine's Day is over doesn't mean you can't still send someone special a little something. I mean, it could just be the mailman, it could be your friend, it could be just the hot pharmacist at the City Target up in San Francisco. Who knows? But you
No
know what you should
kidding,
give
guys.
them?
It could be a Starbucks person that you like that's always giving you free pumps.
It could be a homeless guy at the corner.
Yeah, that's what they need, strawberries.
It could be Paula Abdul. And you know what you should send them? You should send them Shari's Berries.
Yeah, treat Paula Abdul like the gift that she is and send her some Shari's berries. You
Yeah.
guys, send giant dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries for only $19.99. That's over 40% savings. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in watch. For our listeners, you can double the berries for just 10 more with our code. Just type in watch, okay?
Yeah, I mean, the berries are like huge and covered in chocolate, and they're like melty and tasty. And you can have them like dipped in white chocolate or milk chocolate or dark chocolate, and you can get swizzle and all that fun stuff. You should just send them to your friends, even if you don't, even, you know what, even if you don't even like someone, send them to that person and kill them with kindness, just like what's Kenya Moore.
Yeah, you guys know that I'm always pretending to be on a diet. So when I got my Shari's berries, I ate two and then promptly gave them away. And my neighbor Brian loved them so much that he washed my dog 2 days in a row. I mean, my dog didn't
Wow.
even need to be washed 2 days in a row, and I got two washes. So thanks, Shari.
Did you get your dog some Shari's berries too?
No, chocolate will kill a dog.
Oh, never mind. Don't do
But
that,
then I wouldn't
everyone.
have to bathe them.
True.
Okay, you guys, go to Shari's Berries, order now, get double the berries for $10 more, and do not forget to use our code WATCH, berries.com, berries.com.
That's what's Shaw's Vanderpump rules. Come gather round and make fun of his fools.
A podcast of Bravo, nothing runs with Bravo.
When there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all the crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV, and as usual, I'm here with the handsome, lovely, and talented Ben Mandelker of B-Side Blog. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie.
Before we get started, you guys can find us on facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. That is where we talk with you guys, and you guys can post articles and stuff, and we're always posting a bunch of stuff. So the show goes on all week long on facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also tweet us. We're not great at tweeting back, but we love to read tweets at whatcrappens. You can find Ben on every social media outlet ever put out on the internet at B-Side Blog. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. His blog is even bsideblog.com, match.com, Grindr, all of them B-Side Blog. And I am different on everything. On Twitter, I'm at Ronnie Karam or Trash Tweet TV. And on Instagram, I'm at Trash Talk TV. And that's probably all you really need to know, guys. Also, I write Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps over at Trash Talk TV every Monday night. So come by, okay? Okay, so that's enough of that self-promotion crap. Oh, yeah, Shari's Berries. Yay, Shari's Berries.
Watch.
Okay, Ben, that was a lot of me talking really nasally and fast. What you want to talk about?
Well, I guess, we have some gossip this week. I had two encounters with marginal Bravo personalities, I guess you could call them, this week. And
Uh-oh.
I feel like sharing the story.
I think being on Bravo is marginal enough. So if they're marginal Bravo people, they're in trubs. So who are
Yeah.
they?
Well, the first one wasn't really a story. I was out at the club and I saw Candy Burris's choreographer. You know that like cute little
Yeah.
gay guy?
Yeah, the guy who's going to be 15 until he dies.
Yeah, exactly. So I saw him out at the club and he was with some guy who looked like a gay version of Rick Ross, which was kind of interesting. But he seemed very nice. I went up to him drunkenly. I was like, "Hey, are you Candy's choreographer?" And he was like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Oh, I'm like, you're adorable." And then I walked away.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't try and get his number.
No. He's not my type. But he was actually a cute little guy. So for that gay Rick Ross, if you're banging him, go have a good time with that. And so now here's this other story. So the very next day, I was out at a restaurant, and I was at Bloodsoe's in Los Angeles. If you haven't been to Bloodsoe's, you should go because it's great barbecue food. And I ran into my friend Diana there. And Diana's sitting at a table with her friend. And I walk up and I see her friend. And I'm like, oh my God, hi. You know, because Diana is from the world of food PR. And people who read my blog may know that I write about food a lot. And I get invited to these random like food blogger type of events. And you meet all these food bloggers. You can never remember who's who. So I saw this girl. I know I had met her at some food blogging event. I'm like, hey, what's going on? How are you? And I give her a big hug. And she stands up. She's like, hey, what's going on? How have you been? Da-da-da-da-da. We're chit-chatting. Of course, I'm drunk, I should also add. I've been at Bloodsoe's for 2 hours. And I'm like, I'm just saying, like, how's your night going? Da, da, da. We're sitting there all chit-chatting, and then my friend comes over, and we're like, oh, I'm like, hey, we're going to the Abbey, you guys should come. And Diana's like, no, I can't come. But this other girl's like, yeah, no, oh my God, I think I'll totally come to the Abbey. That would be so much fun. Oh my God, I'll just see you there. I'm like, yeah, awesome. I'm like, oh, I love that girl. So then, you know, I never see her the rest of the night, and I text Diana the next morning, and I'm like, hey, remind me the name of that girl that you were eating with. And she's like, oh, it's Krista Simmons. So I look up Krista Simmons. I've never met this girl ever before in my life. She was a judge on Top Chef Masters, and I merely recognized her from Bravo and assumed she was a friend of mine.
Oh, that's funny. That's so LA too. Hi, how are you? And they're like, oh my God, that probably was like a guy who worked on the crew. I better be nice.
Yeah. Well, because she apparently asked Diana, she was like, who is that guy again? So neither of us knew each other, and we thought we were like old friends. Yeah, I want to hang out with her now.
Yeah, that's all you really have to do. A friend of mine went to eat at Sir, and when Lisa was coming in, she said, hi, Lisa. And Lisa said, oh, hi, darling. What do we know each other from again? And she said, oh, we don't know each other. I just like you. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, so you have to fake it.
Yeah. It's a good – well, you know, yeah, I mean, it happens in L.A. all the time. Apparently
– phonies.
Here's a story. This is a total off-brand, but this is a story – that's killed me for the past 11 years. But apparently my friend was waiting for me at a restaurant once. And this guy came up to her and was like, hey, what's going on? And she thought it was me. And she was like, hi, da 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 da. And they were like chit-chatting because like she hadn't seen me in a few years. So like she was, I don't know why she couldn't remember what I looked like. The guy walked away and then someone was like, oh my God, did you know who that was? And she's like, no. And they're like, it was so-and-so. She's like, oh, I thought it was my friend Ben. And then I walked in, and she's like, oh, some celebrity came in here who I thought was you, and I just chatted with him. And I was like, who? She's like, I don't remember. So for all these years, I've always wondered who my celebrity doppelganger is who had a conversation with a friend.
What if it was like Alan Thicke?
that would be aiming high. It was probably one of the sons from Step by Step.
Okay, so let us talk some gossip. I think the biggest Bravo gossip of the week is that Bethany's talk show got canceled. So I guess we just have to sit back and wait for Jill Zarin to start popping up as a talking head on every fucking show on TV to talk about her feelings about Bethany's show getting canceled.
It's a rough year for Bethany. Her show got canceled, and also her Skinny Girl Margarita, her Skinny Girl brand is apparently tanking. And I think that's probably in part because of the talk show. I think the talk show is supposed to help promote the brand, but I think there's nothing about that talk show that makes you want to swallow anything. You know, I think you want to spit everything out of your mouth and just go die.
Yeah, that was a pretty bad show. She was very abrasive with her guests, I feel like. You know, she was kind of rude. And not in a Wendy Williams kind of fun, like, hey girl, kind of way. Just kind of like a bitch. Like, why'd I drive to do your show, bitch? You're mean.
Yeah, she's like abrasive and she's like tacky. And the one episode that I saw had something to do with like how to put on underwear in a certain way so that way your thong doesn't do whatever. So she put on this like thong on the air. And then she took it off and she's like, here, who wants this? Who wants this? And she gave it to a guy. I'm like, that's just disgusting. Like, get your dirty used thong and put it into like a medical red bag that you throw out into the dumpster.
Well, we should all have such a terrible life because she got paid like $40 million for Skinny Girl flat. Plus, she's been making profits off of it, you know, since then. Plus, she made all that money from her talk show, even though it got canceled. But, I mean, she's fine. She can now disappear and be set for life. Except, I read in some article that Jason Hoppe will not settle because he wants more money. They said that they've offered him millions of dollars and he won't accept. Like, he wants even more, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, she could be as rich as she wants, but her daughter is still going to be raised in a highly dysfunctional environment. So have fun with that, Brynn.
Yeah, have fun. Good luck, Brynn. Another, you're going to be just as neurotic as your mother. Can't wait for your show on Bravo in 20 whatever.
40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to be past your expiration date to be fresh on Bravo. So speaking of child support, some Amy Mabry Cundiff just put on our Facebook page, Brandy tweeted today that Eddie is now asking for child support. LOL. That's amazing.
You know, I think, honestly, a better situation for these kids would be to be living with Bryn in Bethany's apartment at this point.
Yeah, this is all going downhill. And then there's some more Beverly Hills stuff, but I'll talk about that when we get to Beverly Hills.
Are you talking about what Cindy C. posted on our page just now? Okay, yeah, you will talk about that, because I haven't read it, but I've started to skim it right now as we speak.
Okay, well, I'll just talk about it now since you brought it up. So Cindy C. posted on our page, looks like Lisa Vanderpump has had enough and is putting Brandy on blast in her blog about Cedric.
Good.
Okay, so this is what Lisa said. Basically, she didn't have Cedric deported, but she was his sponsor for his work visa. So when he went back home and didn't have a sponsor, he couldn't come back. And why the hell would she sponsor him? He was an
asshole. By the way, a side note, this just proves how dumb this guy is that he went after the sponsor of his visa.
No kidding. And then he's dumb enough to leave. Like customs, you know, like the border is just going to let him in. Like,
he should just go back to that old phone booth he used to live in with his mom.
Yeah, go live with Fantine from Les Miserables, like his whore mother in Paris. Give me a break. I dreamed a dream in time gone by. Cedric, bring mommy a cigarette while she fucks this guy. So anyway, that was the first part of it. And then she ends with, the most interesting thing that I discovered, which I never would have exposed, is the fact that Brandy had never met Cedric. She wasn't a friend of his, and they hadn't modeled together. She had somehow concocted the story with somebody else. She came into my life on a lie. That should have spoken volumes.
By the way, what's funny to me about this is that she's like, she concocted the story with someone else. Who could that other person be? Oh, I know, producers. And it's the same reason why Sheena was at keeps popping up in Lisa's parties. It's because the producers put her there. And these people, when are they going to realize that this is obvious producer manipulation to get these exact responses out of them?
No kidding. These people are so stupid. And it's so funny watching them try to skirt around it, because they're not allowed to say, well, the producers did it, you know?
Yeah.
Like Andy on the Vanderpump Rules reunion is like, well, Lisa, you know, you had Sheena there when at that party, and then Brandy was mean to her. It's like, and Lisa's just like, well, you know, Donna, you know, she's trying to, she can't be like, well, you did it. Like, what the fuck are you talking to me for? You're the one who made the call, jerk. I wouldn't have put her on, you know?
I also have to say this too, by the way, talking about Brandy and Sheena. It's fucked up that Sheena was the homewrecker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And no one wants to be around the homewrecker. But this is one of the problems with lady society. You know, women go after each other. And you know what? Brandy's rage should be going squarely at Eddie Cibrian. And it's not to say that she doesn't aim her rage his way, because she certainly does. But at a certain point, she has to sort of, you know, she has to get over this a little bit. It's been 8 years.
Well, it's the only thing she's got in her life. She has no personality. She's just got to use it to keep having something to talk about on the show. It's like, shut up already. We know you got dumped, but you married the hottest guy on the planet and stayed with him even though he cheated on you, I'm sure, hundreds of times because you liked spending his fucking money. So shut up, Brandy. Just shut up.
Yeah.
But this, in the comment thread of this Lisa thing, they're talking about it, and someone said, oh, damn it. Cindy said, now she's blaming Nene and says that Nene told her to take down the fave to become the fave. I mean, these women are really disgusting.
This like, is what Brandy, Nene told Brandy to take down.
Supposedly, yeah. Cindy C said she heard somewhere or she read somewhere that, do you love, this is how the housewives operate. Well, she heard from them who heard from them who heard from this person. It says, now she's blaming Nene, says Nene told her to take down the fave to become the fave.
Listen, That's exactly how you do not become the fave. The way you become the fave is you get in with the fave. You don't try to take down the fave, because the fave is a fave for a reason.
Yeah.
Did anyone not learn anything from Jules Aaron, who tried to take down Bethany? Did anyone not learn anything from, well, Atlanta doesn't count because they all try to take down each other at all times. They also all think that they're the fave. Even Marlo.
Yeah, I think the most egregious example is Jill, for sure. Yeah,
Jill is the big classic one.
That's the biggest idiot. Oh, and she gave some interview, of course, talking about someone else's misery, like Ramona's, you know, she was giving interviews because Ramona's leaving her husband for cheating or whatever. So, of course, call Jill. I mean, what the fuck, people? Shut up, Jill Zarin. Shut up.
So it just reminds – wait, I'm sorry. I have to make a sidebar here. Okay, the discussion of Ramona and everything, it reminds me of a god-awful press release I received that I have to read to you guys. Okay. This just reminded me of it. I'm going to pull it up right now. Okay, so there's this – do you ever get anything from this guy, Tom Morrow,
Ronnie? I used to until I fucking sent him an email and told him to shut the fuck up and called him a stupid queen. And he wrote back, I'm married. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So he's this awful guy. I'm not even going to say what website he's with.
He's the worst.
If you guys feel like looking him up, you can look him up, but I'm not going to mention his website.
And the reason why
he used to send us, Ronnie and I, and also Lisa Timmons on Socialite Life, like every single day an update about anything. Like if a housewife took a shit and he happened to be in a 5 mile square radius, he would be like, hey, this just in, I was in Gramercy Park and Ramona was 5 blocks away and she took shit. Like,
yeah, and then nonstop. He always has a picture of himself standing with them. Like, it's like that person who has to have a picture with themselves. Who does that? Like, why do I, like, I want to see Julia Roberts, not you with Julia Roberts.
Exactly. And so he always has gossip about basically low-level reality stars in the New York, New Jersey area.
He also uses those like wet paint headlines where he's like, you'll never believe how Brandy Glanville almost killed herself. And then you click it and it's like, Brandy laughed so hard, you know, when someone farted that she almost died. It's like, shut up, Tom Morrow. Why the fuck am I reading this email?
He's truly, truly, truly awful. So all of a sudden, like back from the dead comes Tom Morrow with a press release that he sends me. And he goes, hi, thought you could use this. He goes, now it starts. Me and Ramona Singer in the New York Fashion Week Mercedes-Benz VIP lounge last night. And by the way, at this point, he's already lost me because he opened his sentence by saying me and Ramona Singer. Okay, we're not in third grade here. Okay, people. Ramona Singer and I. Anyway. So here it is. Me and Ramona Singer in the New York Fashion Week Mercedes-Benz VIP lounge last night before going to the Zhang Toy runway show. I have never seen her look so good. She looks like she's 35. We didn't address the elephant in the room. Friends do that sometimes. So already I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, I'm so not impressed if you're friends with Ramona Singer. Like, that's the least impressive thing you could ever do. And the fact that he's, like, kissing her ass and talking about how good she looks.
Ugh, and the fact that he's not even friends with her. You know, he's just following her ass around.
Yeah, and I just love that he knows that friends do that sometimes. Like, shut the fuck up, Tom. Gross. So then here comes the second paragraph. I also made two new friends. Gigi from Jerseylicious there with her, quote, not my boyfriend, quote, Perry. They were both a lot of fun. She mentioned something about the Style Network being canceled and the show being up in the air at this point. Tom Morrow. I'm like, wait, where is the gossip in here? Like, you met two people from a canceled show that was on a canceled show on a canceled network, okay?
Yeah, I was going to say the big news is that there is a Style Network. Yeah, is that still a thing?
I love that he's passing this along as information about, like, oh, the Style Network is canceled. Guess what? That happened 9 months ago, okay? Anyone who has a working cable box knows this at this point.
Yeah, and then Tom Morrow, you're like a 50-year-old fucking straight guy. Get a job. Your wife must have a really good job.
Like, if you're going to, like, name drop about former judges of Top Chef Masters, okay? But don't drop that you're delicious.
Know what I'm saying? What did you do when you saw Reza in an elevator? Now, that is important shit, all right?
Yeah, I wonder, Ronnie, what would you do in that situation?
What, if I saw Reza? I did. I told you.
I know. That's why I was
yeah, you see? Up. I saw Reza in the Target elevator, and he was stuck in there with me, and I just said, that's so Persian! And he just looked, like, so afraid, and then kind of ran out of the elevator.
That's so white of you to do an impersonation of a Persian. God. That's so white.
Yeah, he ran like hell. I think that's probably the first time he's run in, like, 10 years.
He ran like one of those snipers on the Turkey border where it was coming to get him.
Yeah, he ran like there was a slider across at the end of Target. Like there was a slider stand.
Here that there was a slider, but when he got there, he discovered it was a slip and slide. And as we all know, that's so white, it would be on a slip and slide. Okay, we're going.
Okay, so, well, so are we done with gossip, or do you have more?
This is obviously a very thin gossip day if we're quoting Tom Morrow, so I have no more.
You know, yeah, he made me so disgusted with Housewives gossip in general. Like, we're grown men. What are we talking about? But yeah, before I start trying to commit suicide over what we do every Tuesday, maybe it's time to just start doing it.
Yeah. Listen, I'd like to say one more thing about Tom Morrow. When we mention these celebrities that we encounter, we always sort of like mention them, I feel like, in a tongue-in-cheek way. It's like, it's funny, you know? This guy really believes that this is like impressive. You know, it's really impressive that he met someone from Jerseylicious.
Poor thing,
he would die in Los Angeles. He'd be like, this just in, my good friend Jasmine Guy was at Starbucks with me. I was gonna say hello to her and say how's it going, but I didn't. Friends do that sometimes.
He'd be like, I was in Sir and I got waited on by Sheena. And she asked me if I wanted more water, and then she told the busboy to get some. That's what friends do that, yeah.
Okay, I hope the listeners like this, because I was really afraid that this podcast was not going to be good today, because I'm like a little under the weather, but clearly it's going in a great place, because we're just railing on Tom Morrow already.
Tom Morrow is pond scum, and I totally agree. Like, there's a difference between making fun of this shit and like taking it seriously. You know, so anyway, we're better than you, Tom Morrell. So just stop. Okay, take me off your MailChimp and just stop it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about shows. You want to start with Bev Hills, since that probably was the most
recent,
action-packed and recent. And probably everybody's talking most about that, because we are, you know, again, we're seeing the unraveling of this friendship between Lisa and basically everyone. I mean, we saw in the previews that next week everyone's going to dogpile Lisa, she starts crying, which is crazy. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm still on Lisa's side through all this. These people, they need some drama in their lives. They keep talking about her manipulating and trying to get her way. But if that's true, what's her end game? What is she trying to do? What is the manipulation supposed to be? Is she just trying to get people to fight? Well, guess what? You are all fighting. So I guess she succeeded.
And not with her. That's the thing. Like, they're all trying to fight with her, but they don't have anything. So
yeah, it's like, you know what, Kyle, when you get in a stupid dust-up with Carlton over, you know, the whatever star is on her leather hide neck, you know what, Lisa has nothing to do with that. That's just what happens, because you're a petty woman fighting with another petty woman. You know, Lisa doesn't have to do anything to make that happen.
Well,
she doesn't
that need whole to thing play. Was so stupid. So for those of you who didn't see it, there was some bullshit party for Gigi, who is going to college, if you haven't heard, because it's been on every, like, episode for 15
they
fucking
act like,
hours this year.
Honestly, they act like they're sending her to Asgard. Like, she's going to a different realm. She will never be seen again. Like,
she's going to live with Ewoks, because she will always be the thinnest one in the room.
She's going to live in a frozen palace up in the mountains. I'm sorry, I saw Frozen last night, so all my references.
Oh my god, I love Frozen.
I was about to say, Ronnie, I bet you loved it. It's so show tuny, and the gay subtext is through the roof.
Yeah, one of my friends is nominated for an Oscar for writing that. Thank you very much. We were apprentices together at the Jupiter Theater in Jupiter, Florida, when I was 19 years old, and she became a famous songwriter.
And she's going to take you to the Oscars, right? Because that's what
friends do. No, are you kidding? That bitch won't even return my Facebooks. I shouldn't even be. She's probably like, you are my friend, fool. You are mean to me. So anyway.
By the way, Tom Morrow, take note that when we name drop with Oscar nominees.
Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. And if you need me to get F. Murray Abraham to get on here and tell your ass off, I'll do it.
Yeah.
An Oscar from the 80s still counts.
It still counts.
So, for those of you who did not see what happened, there was this big party for Gigi, and of course it's at Mohammed's house, because God forbid Yolanda rents a fucking hotel, you know, a hotel, whatever. What do you call it? A ballroom.
Well, Gigi wanted something small, intimate, in Arabic. So apparently Mohammed is the only one in the world who has that. And Mohammed, by the way, was going to cook for this big dinner, which I believe that he's actually a good cook. I actually really believe that. But I loved his version of cooking – or the extent of his cooking, I should say, not his version, was stuffing some herbs into the chickens and then handing it off to basically the servants. Yeah, it's my, like, okay, well, cooking, I'm done cooking.
It's like, I'm doing all this work, and then you see all these chefs around him that he's handing it to.
Yeah.
Like, he's fresh like, off the boat that are like, still wearing their...
I picked some mint and some... like rosemary from the garden, and he's like a regular, he's like the Arabic Ina Garten, strolling around the garden picking things. And
yeah, I love that he's in the garden. Shut up, get inside. You're not in the garden. You don't do anything for that goddamn garden. And by the way, look, here's the thing with Muhammad. I looked him up yesterday because I was trying to write a recap joke about something Yolanda said, which I'll get to later, but I was like, I'm sure that Muhammad's had 20 wives, you know? So I looked up his wiki so I could find out who his other wives were. And it actually made me like him. Like, he came from a poor family. He came over here. He didn't really have anything. And what made him stand out was that he loved art and he's an artist. And so when he started building homes, he started painting art in the homes, like on the walls.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know, so that kind of made me like him.
I don't hate Muhammad, by the way.
He hasn't had a million wives. So I actually came out of it kind of liking Muhammad, but that's just a precursor to me saying, listen, people, I don't care how much money you have and how old you are and how many facelifts you need. Every time you get a facelift, you pull your hairline back 2 inches. And that's why everybody on Bravo's hairline starts in the middle of their head. Like, congratulations on having a full head of hair, but it's like in the back of your head. You're going to look like a samurai guy in like one facelift. Stop with that. Like, your forehead's smooth. Who cares? Who are you going to fuck with your forehead, dude? Stop. So anyway.
I'm glad you brought attention to this. I have to say, I like Muhammad. I hate his hair. I hate his hair, but I like everything else. And I have to say, my big takeaway about Muhammad was that I always thought his house is like the biggest in LA. And then I paused when, you know, they had a transition and they zoomed out from his house. And when they zoomed out, you saw the house that was next to his. And holy shit, that thing is huge. So this is what I do when I watch the shows. I like go house hunting.
Well, that's what the shows are actually really fun for, you know?
Yeah, except for when they go visit Brandy's house.
I know, her poor little lease.
House looks like it'd actually be on House Hunters, which means it's like, it's a one bedroom with maybe an open concept and some counter that need to be replaced.
Yeah, she's settling for ceilings. A bathroom, and it's not near the end of town. I mean, near the center of town, but she's got to take it because it's in her budget, and it's better to live within your budget. She needs to stop spending so much money, by the way. I mean, Botox is not cheap, and she's obviously getting with her shot. She's had a stiff tongue again. This is like 5 weeks in a row she's had a stiff tongue. Last week she said it was because she had a food allergy. This week she said it was, what did she say this week?
She had aspirin.
Oh, she had an aspirin. No, bitch, it's Botox or cocaine.
Yeah.
Or both.
Both.
No one's believing you.
You know what the problem is? She's snorting her Botox. And she's injecting her cocaine, and she's all mixed up, and her tongue can't deal.
Yeah, well, she needs to stop spending money, because we know that housewives don't really make that much in the scheme of things. She's not going to do anything once Housewives is over, and you don't make much money from having a book either. So I know that's a lot of money to you, but put that money into your Wells Fargo account, age gracefully, and send your kids to college, and stop acting like such an asshole, okay?
Maybe too late for one of those things, the aging gracefully, but she can at least age.
Well, she's still only 40. I mean, she still has a chance.
Yeah, but she's done a lot to her face.
Yeah, but I mean, if she stopped now, it could at least kind of settle. She can age very gracefully.
She looks lovely. She will age very gracefully if she just shuts up and acts graceful.
Yeah, which she never will. Okay, so we're having this party at Muhammad's house, and Kyle, for whatever reason...
Passive-aggressive. This is what it was. It was a passive-aggressive reason. That's the one thing that was not top-down, but go on.
So Kyle goes up to Brandy, and she's like, listen, I have this ring, and it's a crown for the skull that I gave Carlton, and I forgot to give it to her, but it goes with the ring, and so... I mean, it goes with the necklace, so she might as well have it. So here, go give it to her for me. And Brandy, who's totally against Lisa meddling and everything, runs right over to Carlton and is like, here's this thing. Here's this ring. And of course, Lisa's like, that doesn't even match. You know,
Lisa just looks at it and she's like, I think what she was trying to say was like, oh, like, are you sure this goes with it? It doesn't look like it matches, you know? And maybe she was trying to, like, you know, fan the flames a little bit, but that's not like the, it's, I don't know. To me, it was pretty innocuous, you know? I thought, and this pretty much launched World War III.
Yeah, so then Carlton's like, I won't accept that, with her terrible fake accent.
I can't accept it. I can't accept it.
So then Brandy, remember, Brandy hates meddling. She said that about 20 times in this episode. Runs back to Kyle. And, you know, she doesn't want to be manipulative. So she's like, Kyle, Carlton doesn't want this ring. She won't accept it. And Kyle's like, what? Why? And she's like, well, because, you know, whatever.
And the return of Adrian Maloof.
Yeah. And then Kyle's like, well, you know, screw her or whatever. And Brandy's like, can I just keep it? So Brandy keeps a ring, and then she drops the bomb that Lisa said, oh, well, Lisa said it didn't even match, which is why Carlton was mad, because it doesn't even go with, you know, so she totally changes what happened to manipulate the situation. So Kyle will attack Lisa because she doesn't have the balls to.
And Lisa was encouraging Carlton to keep the ring because it might have been a peace offering from Kyle, even though we knew it was the exact opposite. It was a passive aggressive, like, hey, guess what, you so fucker. Lisa, I gave you a necklace and you better remember that.
Yeah, again, Lisa is trying to help Kyle and saying, listen, just go make up with her. She's obviously trying to make a peace offering. And Carlton's like, no, I can't. And so, you know,
I can't do it.
How many times have we seen Lisa do that for Kyle? She's always done it. She's always tried to stick up for Kyle and get people to like. Actually, she's always tried to stick up for everyone, really.
Especially Brandy. Specifically Brandy.
Yeah. Well, she gave Brandy a whole career and a life. Brandy would never have stayed on that show had Lisa not taken her in, because no one else would even look at her or speak to her or film with her. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Brandy gave her, I mean, Lisa gave that bitch life. So, look, like I said last week, I'm not a big fan of sticking up for anyone desperate enough to be on one of these stupid fucking shows. But Lisa, really, I mean, come on, Brandy. Like, the woman made you.
Yeah.
Period. Like, behave. So, Brandy is totally fucking up. But, of course, Kyle fell for it and started trying to start shit with Lisa. And Lisa's just, like, basically not laughing in her face, but just shrugging it off because she's over it, you know?
Yeah. Well, because it's also so stupid. And like Lisa said in the confessional, she said, you know, it was such an innocuous remark, I can't even believe it was even repeated.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing that she said was, I guess God forgot to give me a dick because I just don't understand these women fighting over stupid shit.
Well, I think that also there is actually some cultural stuff that comes into play sometimes with Lisa and the other women, Lisa being British. That's what I'm talking about. Because later on, Kyle and Lisa were shopping, and Kyle was trying to sort of like get an apology from Lisa from the comment she made all the way in the beginning of the season about Mauricio, the rumors about Mauricio being with a younger woman. Admittedly, that was actually poor of Lisa. That was poor form. I'm not going to defend that. And you know what? I think that when Kyle was sort of asking for an opinion, I think Lisa, she could have just said, you know what, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it's still bothering you. I'm sorry.
But she didn't even say that that's what it was about. Kyle said, well, you know, like when, you know, all these rumors about me and Maurizio, because Kyle had told Lisa that she was mad that Lisa wasn't standing up for her in public. Like she wasn't going on the red carpets and denying it.
Right. That's what it was.
So Lisa thought that that's what she was talking about. So she said, well, I stood up for you publicly and so did Ken. She didn't know she was talking about that thing. If she said, look, you made a comment about my husband fucking trannies in front of my daughter, which was really tacky, she would have said, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the thing is, though, like, you know, this may be me overgeneralizing, but I kind of feel like it's a British thing to be like, this is ridiculous, you know, to be like, listen, we've talked about it. It's over. No more discussion.
Yeah, we're not going to sit here and talk about our feelings.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think Kyle understands that. It doesn't necessarily mean that Lisa is justified in the way she acted, because it's also up to Lisa to understand Kyle's American culture. But
which is undermining, backbiting. I mean, all Kyle's done all season is try and turn everybody there against Lisa.
And you know what's kind of funny, too, is that, like, all last season and some of this season, Kyle just wanted to be friends with Lisa again. She just wanted to be friends with her, And the moment that they're friends again, the first thing Kyle does is start to undermine Lisa.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle's a fucking asshole. But it is, you know, I said this last week and I'll say it again. It's really good to see Kyle being a bitch because really that's what she's good for.
It is. I'm really enjoying that side of Kyle.
So I can't wait to see her get her asshole ripped open at the reunion because she has no brain. But,
yeah.
You know, that's part of the fun of it. And I'm glad she's at least not pretending anymore. She's being a full-fledged bitch now.
And meanwhile, Yolanda is jumping on this whole anti-Lisa thing. And I think it's purely because Lisa did not show up to paint pictures in Malibu on an afternoon. Like, I think it's clearly that was the thing that annoyed Yolanda. And she's been very, like, dismissive of Lisa ever since and trying to brew things up with her, too. I'm like, this woman has to get a life. Like,
You didn't paint pictures for my daughter.
She's going away to college, in case you didn't hear. She needs, because dorm rooms are so huge, she needs to fill up all the space with these pictures. She will have so much white space and extra room. We need to fill it with pictures for my frenemies.
Oh, she's so stupid, Yolanda. So Yolanda, oh God, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. So Yolanda is trying to start shit about Lisa, but then doesn't want any fighting at the party. It's like, well, what do you want?
Like, I know.
You're the one who's starting it.
Exactly.
What the hell do you want, lady? And then she goes into this big echo chamber to talk shit about people. It's like this room made out of tile, and it echoes, and the whole party can hear it. And she's like,
and she also, yeah,
let us talk about Carlton and Kaya.
Well, she also snaps at Lisa about, because Lisa's telling Carlton to go make up with Kyle, and she snaps at Lisa for doing that. But meanwhile, Yolanda's been the one all season who's been the biggest advocate of, like, we need to nip it in the bud. Now is the time when we nip it in the bud. You know, like, like that's, like, you know, she's the biggest one who would be in anyone else's party, she'd be the big proponent of doing that.
Yeah, she's an asshole. So basically, this is the, you know, the episode right before they all go after Lisa. So I'm really interested to see that, just to see how they phrase their issues. Because last night the editors were like, basically, like, here's what you need in case you don't understand why everyone hates Lisa. And they edited together all these horrible things that Lisa's done, which were all nothing. Like, none of them were horrible at all. Like, she asked Kim, when Kim got out of rehab and came to the first dinner, how are you feeling? Are you okay? Like, are you feeling strong? Do you feel like you can relapse? Like,
yeah.
Is that really mean?
Yeah, it's not. And Kim was like, well, maybe it's like a sensitive time for me. I don't want to discuss it. It's like, Kim, like, did you learn anything from rehab? Isn't the whole point of rehab is that you, like, you apologize to everyone and you, like, are supposed to be understanding and you're supposed to be sort of open about these things? And she was, I think Lisa was asking, like, a normal question that perhaps a friend would want to know the answers to, that would maybe help inform them on how to act around you or what's appropriate for them to do or say. It's so stupid that Kim would hold that against her.
Kim really, you know, Kim has never been too bright, but she's really showing what a vindictive little bitch she is. Like,
yeah,
lady, this woman has done nothing to you. Why do you need... What is your end goal? That's what I don't understand with all these women. Like, Kyle, what is your end goal? So you're going to get rid of Lisa, okay? So let's say that you get your wish and Lisa quits. What are you going to do? No one's going to want to just watch you fucking fake play basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and pretend your husband's not cheating on you and try not to gain 100 pounds. Like, that's not interesting, Kyle.
Yeah.
I wish that they had ways to tell on DVRs whose scenes are being fast-forwarded through.
I know. They're maybe in time they will be able to. I'll tell you whose scenes I would fast-forward through would be any time that Yolanda and David Foster are being lovey-lovey. I mean, it's just – it's so annoying. And the way they sort of, like, act with, like, Mohammed, that they – it feels like this very self-aware, like, we're the cool, modern – trio of people who just sort of understand relationships. It's almost like wanting to be like, they almost seem like they want to be in a Woody Allen movie, you know?
I think, and they're so fucking phony. I don't buy one second of that, especially when he's like, well, you know, a woman is supposed to take care of the house, and she does. And she's like, oh, I'm just here to live for my man. You know what? Yeah. No, that is not going to work. This is the modern era. I don't buy it for 1 second. That bitch is paying her rent.
Or how about when David Foster, like, gives, like, a bro hug to whatever, Kunash or whatever, the house manager, Muhammad's house manager, David Foster, like, what's up, bro? Like, fist bump. It's like Kunal or whatever. Like, it just seems so fake to me,
well,
you know?
That reminds me. Yolanda made a comment like, well, I can see why Brandy's mad at Lisa, because Lisa is friends with the girl who cheated with with Eddie Cibrian, and I would not have that girl in my close circle. That's just not cool. And I'm like, you're married to your husband's best friend, bitch. Like, get off your high horse.
Yeah.
like, where? Since when do you have such a fucking high moral bar?
And I'm sure. I'm sure there was someone before Yolanda in Mohammed's life.
Well, yeah, Joanna Krupa for one, and her smoothie.
Oh yeah,
JJ. Like, come on. Give me a break. They're all... I love when they try and play morals. It's like, you've got how many children from how many different fathers? Like, come on. Get over yourself. You're white trash with money, honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What else? Oh, well, what do you think about that? Because you know, Yolanda's a fucking fuckwad, but I do see what she means, kind of, about how that would be annoying to Brandy, but... Shana's worked there way before Brandy came in the picture.
I mean, look, my feeling on it is the same. If it were me, I would not have Shana working the event. But if I were a producer on these shows...
No, not the event. I mean, in general. Because she's saying Brandy's mad that Lisa's close with Shana at all. And that's not cool. But she knew Shana first, so...
It doesn't even matter.
Is it even legal to fire somebody for something they did a long time ago? Like, you can't do that. Like, thanks for working here for 3 years. You're fired, though, because I'm friends now with somebody whose husband you fired.
Yeah, my feeling is this. When Brandy is like, you know, Lisa, I found out from a very good source that Lisa knew that Shana was Eddie's mistress all along. I'm like, so what? Like, how does that change anything? Like, I don't care.
Yeah. No one Maybe cares. It's like, your husband was a whore. Deception. Okay, and Sheena's saying, okay, this was 7 years ago. Well, how old is Shana?
I don't know.
Does anybody know how old
her
she
makeup,
is?
Her makeup would indicate that she's perhaps 45, but well, her maturity would say perhaps 13.
Telenovela star.
Yeah.
Let me see. She was born in 1985, so she's 30. I mean, she's 28. So that would have made her... So basically, your husband was fucking a 20-year-old. 21-year-old.
Listen, wow. Brandy's just looking for an excuse. She's looking for an excuse for, you know, and what I also like is that Brandy made some simpering remarks about, like, Kyle getting her daily phone call from Lisa or chatting on the phone, chit-chat, like, which would seem to indicate that she's upset that she doesn't get her daily phone call anymore. But at the same time, then... She doesn't talk to her at the party. I mean, what do you want? Do you want to, like, not talk to this person, or do you want to talk to this person? What do you want, Brandy?
She just wants to be able to talk to her so she can keep spreading shit about her. And according to Lisa, she's the one who is being ignored. So, I don't know. Whatever. Too much about this. I'm so sick of fucking hearing about this. And next week, you make an old lady cry. So, congratulations!
Congratulations.
Like, just go piss on the entire cast of Cocoon. Like, you don't do that. Not nice.
Should we move on to Vanderpump Rules Reunion
Please.
Part 2? Now, this was just so much fun. I watched the first half last night, and then I fell asleep, and then I watched the second half today. I can't remember too much, but I just know that I
just
thoroughly
watched
enjoyed it
right before this, so I am still laughing.
So my favorite part, if I can remember correctly, was the top of the episode, and Kristen has stormed off, and now, like, all of a sudden Stassi is under fire, I think, or Shana's talking, or people are they're talking about something completely different. And then Kristen stomps back in like a third grader, and then she interrupts whatever they're talking about, and she seethes at Tom and Ariana. She's like, seriously, can you, like, I need you to not be doing that right now. I need you to not be doing that. Like, if I'm gonna stay out here, you need to stop doing that. AKA like them holding hands.
You're all,
like,
over each other. Stop being all
over each
other.
Like,
it's
we're just
disgusting.
Holding hands. Like, have some respect. Have some respect. Seriously? 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 Respect?
I deserve respect.
Oh, so stupid.
I love that she deserves respect.
Yeah.
Like, why? What have you ever done that you would think that you would deserve respect from anybody? Like, you don't even deserve to have the MS... put before your name on a letter. Like, you're the worst. You're officially the worst.
She is so dumb. And the lies that she tells herself are so hilarious. Like, when she actually managed to say, while crying, that she's so much happier now. Seriously, I'm like so much happier now. Seriously.
She's so stupid. Okay, Andy, and I love that Andy gets all moral with them too. Like, yeah, it's like he's basically Satan, and he's like, well, yeah, don't you feel bad? But he was saying, well, don't you, you know, how do you feel when you were swearing on your family's lives that you didn't sleep with Jax? And then it cuts to her being like, I swear on my sister, on my nieces, on my brother-in-law, on my mother, on my father. And they're like, on all your family? And she's like, yeah, my grandma, my grandpa, my great aunts. And then they cut back to her and she's like, yeah, you know, it was so embarrassing because I was watching that episode with my family. Why would you watch that episode with your family?
I know. Why? Why would you watch anything with your family? Why would you even let your family know you were on this show? You should have just told them, oh, this show got canceled. I'm not going to be on TV ever again.
You're having viewing parties with your family when you've been fucking some guy that everybody knows has like tons of STDs. You're fucking over your boyfriend who your family all knows and probably loves. What are you watching that with your family for? Oh my gosh.
Her mom's like, seriously? Her dad's like, seriously, Kristen? Seriously?
Her mom's like,
seriously? That's her. Her dog's like, woof, seriously? Woof, seriously?
Seriously?
So her doorbell's like, boom, seriously? There's someone at the door, seriously? Her doorbell is also Mickey Mouse voiced.
But like 80% of this was this Kristen thing, which I was like, poor Stassi, or Stassi. Sorry, I got tweeted at that it's Stassi, not Stassi, but I refuse to give that bitch any sort of, what do you call that when there's like a little character above a word that tells you to announce that part louder? What am I trying to say?
Emphasis, stress.
The emphasis, stress on, but what do you call, oh my god. I refuse to get hurt.
Schwa?
I'm so stupid today. I'm sorry. I smoked pot yesterday. But I'm not going to make it classy, okay? Her name is Stassi to me, and it will stay Stassi, okay? Classy, well, Stassi.
If there's, yeah, let's say it. If there's one thing that rhymes with classy, it's Stassi.
And assy.
I will continue to call her Stassi because it sounds like the German secret police.
So here's one impression I took away from this. I loved that the whole thing was about what a victim Tom is.
Yeah.
When it's basically been admitted that Tom's cheated on her like a zillion times. It wasn't just some prostitute in Vegas. It was like a lot, apparently.
I love how that conveniently gets lost in the shuffle, that he like banged multiple waitresses in Vegas and somehow he's like the innocent soul in all this.
And he's just playing up that victim card.
To be fair, he is very dumb, and he probably thought that somehow banging those waitresses would bring him and Kristen together.
Yeah, it's like, well, maybe
it's like, twice. I did it for you, Kristen. Come on. I banged them for you. Why don't you see that I banged them for you, Kristen?
Another thing was, okay, we know, I think I brought this up last week, but I don't know if I did or not, but I still want an answer. Okay, so Horseface number 2 gets wasted and says, oh, well, Horseface number 1 slept with Jax.
Yeah.
So then the next day when she's sober, she's sobbing and apologizing and saying, I'm really sorry that I caused trouble. I really am so sorry. I know you hate me. I hate me. You can't hate me more than I hate myself. Why hasn't anybody confronted Horseface number 2 about not telling Stassi that Kristen had fucked Jax? Why is she getting off scot-free?
I think, well, she already was confronted about it. And she said, you know, I didn't put any weight into it. I never thought much of it. But now she's like, but now I do. I don't know. I mean, of all the offenders.
She was confronted? I missed that part.
Yeah, that was a few episodes ago. Now, not on the reunion, but like she was confronted about her tardiness. I personally loved when Tom started railing on Stassi. And basically saying, like, attacking her for having a huge amount of schadenfreude through this entire thing. about how she would sort of almost smile with the chance to ambush Tom and Kristen. And I love how Stassi all of a sudden plays innocent and starts to cry. And then
cry. I mean, Stassi can't even fucking cry. I mean, she's terrible. She's no tears, no snot, nothing.
Yeah. Well, the best is that she totally did the kindergartner thing where she stood from her chair. She was like, and then just walked off.
Yeah, because she Lisa couldn't goes after fucking her. Cry, so she had to walk off to pretend to cry. Stupid.
That was such a, like, I love how she's shocked. She's shocked that anyone would ever say this to her. That, like, wow, Stassi, you seem to take a great amount of joy in watching other people suffer.
Like, when basically that's exactly, she says that in her confessionals. I mean,
she does.
She relishes she's a the spoiled fact brat. That she relishes the fact that she's the villain. And she relishes the fact that she got so much attention from it in season one, and everybody hates her, and she's made comments about that on the show, that everybody hates her. And so she was even worse in season two.
Yeah.
And now she's going to cry about it.
Yeah.
But isn't that always how it works? You know, the bully is always the first one to cry when you hit him back.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know, because I cried many times when people hit me back. It really hurts. You're not expecting it, and then boom, you've got a bloody nose. And it's like, why?
That's exactly what happened to Stassi. She had a metaphorical bloody nose. I also really liked when, during that time when Kristen had stomped off the set, when Sheena was like, suddenly it became about Sheena. She's like, yeah. She's like, see, it's like, I'm such a good person. I'm such a good person. I try to be there for her, and she just walks off. And like, how can I be even more of a good person than I am right now? It's like, shut up, Sheena. Stop congratulating yourself.
I like when Andy was like, so, you know, Kristen, what do you think about, you know, Tom impregnating an alien or whatever? And Sheena's like, you know how hard it is for me being in between all this? Like, no one asked you, okay, this is not your question, Sheena.
I just want to go back to Azusa and get more hummingbird tattoos with my mom.
I like what she told Stassi.
You saw me fall down. You saw me. You saw me fall. And you saw me bleed. And you couldn't even text me.
And what does Stassi say? She's like, what? Well, I mean, honestly, I don't even think she had an answer. But it was really fun to watch Stassi through this whole thing, because poor thing's hair is so terrible now. She looks so 10 years bad. Older.
Yeah, she's got like bad Madonna hair. And I liked how Sheena did dress down Stassi for that whole thing. She's like, I don't give a shit about what you think, because when you didn't come see me or even text me to see how my teeth were doing, it showed that you didn't give a shit about me, so I don't give a shit about you. I was like, good, Sheena, do that. Say that to Stassi.
Well, yeah, because Stassi's like, how could you do that to me? We're supposed to be friends. It's like, okay, everyone you're supposedly friends with, you've screwed over purposely.
Yeah.
Over and over again. Like, she throws everybody, she's just like, well, we're not friends anymore. Like last year when she just didn't want to be friends with horse faces anymore. You know? And then she was mean to Sheena the second she was friends with them again. Yeah. She is terrible. She is so terrible.
I know. Well, Sheena had it right last week when she said that Stassi is the type of girl that just can't have a lot of other girlfriends. Right? Didn't she say that? Or is that just what I dreamt?
Yeah, she did. But I did get kind of a different take on Stassi this time, because now that we've seen what a loser Jax is, I mean, we kind of knew he was kind of a loser, but I used to think, oh, he's just hot, he's a nice, dumb guy. But he's such a douchebag, idiot,
he's
loser.
Awful.
He's horrible. He's a sociopath, narcissist. He's terrible.
I mean, I think that's why we ultimately feel bad for Tom, because of all these people, Tom really seems to show true remorse for things that he's done. Like, when he has aired, it seems like he has tried to make things right, and he has been humble about it. Whereas Kristen, when she went off the straight and narrow, she was obnoxious and she projected onto Tom, and Jax showed no remorse, and Stassi's just Stassi. And when you see Tom sitting there being like, we were bros, man, like, we were roommates, man, like, we had so many fun times, man, and like,
think of
like
all the time that we spent together, like when we all lived together.
Does that like not mean anything to you? Like, do you feel he feels nothing, man? Like, he feels nothing.
What about how it affects me? My tooth is gray.
Like, I'm sorry, Sheena, but like, Jax is the one who you should be speaking to. He doesn't feel anything. We were roommates.
Well, but I feel things, and I felt things the time that my tooth got pushed out.
Seriously? We all have teeth? Seriously?
Seriously? I'm trying to be your friend. I'm trying to be your friend, Krista.
Seriously? Well, you're doing a bad job of it. Seriously.
Seriously.
No, but like when... I loved when, like, everyone was basically piling on Jax. Like, do you feel anything? Do you feel anything at all? And he's like, well, I mean, like, on some level. On some level. Like,
no.
On some level.
No, I mean, I'm trying. I'm trying to go to therapy.
I know. Yeah, I like that. I'm trying
what
to
is that? Go to what therapy. Do you mean you're trying to go to therapy? Are you going to therapy? What does that it's mean?
Like, he probably thinks therapy is a new bar in Hollywood. He's like, it's an I
bar,
right?
I think there is actually a bar in L.A. called Therapy. But he's trying to go to therapy. He can't even keep a story straight.
Yeah, about why he was arrested.
Everything he said this night was a lie. Like, he can't even remember what lies he told, even though they've been on TV. I mean, that guy's obviously like a cokehead or something's going on with him, but...
God, he also and he also thinks it's, like, somehow charming that he's been to jail so many times. He's like, oh, yeah, I've been there so many times. It's not fun, but, you know, I've been there. It's like, something you just sort of say with a wink and a nudge, or maybe 20 years down the line. But like,
yeah, it's like when your friend who's 40 is like, "Oh my god, last night I got so wasted," and you're like, "You're an alcoholic," because we're 40, you know.
Yeah.
Well, not we, because you're not. I'm not either. Thank God, not yet. Not yet. Damn it, I'm holding on. But Jack's also another thing about that. Andy's like, "Well, yeah. So you were like in an orange jumpsuit," and he's like, "Yeah." You do not wear an orange jumpsuit in, like, county lockup, idiot.
No, he said blue. He changed it. He said, he's like, actually, it's blue.
Oh, okay. I thought in county lockup, it's just, like, jail, not prison. I don't think you have to wear, like, a full suit. I haven't been yet, but I'll sure be bragging about it on this show when I do. Yeah.
I have to say that I one thing that I loved about this reunion and last week too were all the cutaway shots of Jax listening / trying to process the words he was hearing. Like his mouth like half agape, eyes blank, head cocked like a dog wondering why like the door doesn't open all this time.
Yeah, that guy's a fucking moron. So, okay, here's the thing. What I was going to say is I kind of feel for Stassi in a way because her issues are so deep that she spent so much time knowing that he's that person. Like, how insecure do you have to be to spend your life with somebody like that? I mean, that's bad. I mean, Bravo, generally, you have to have daddy issues to be on Bravo. Yeah. Everybody who's on a Bravo show has daddy issues. Every single person. There's not one person that you can name on Bravo who doesn't have daddy issues. And if you can name them, it's probably someone we really like and don't count, like Lisa.
Yeah.
I doubt she has daddy issues.
I feel like
she is married to a grandpa, but still.
That's true. I do feel like Stassi, I don't feel like she has daddy issues. I feel like she has like human being issues. Like she just doesn't have any way to possibly relate properly to any human.
Well, she has daddy issues, but it's that her daddy was a horrible human being, and so is she.
Maybe this just all came from The Amazing Race. Maybe she was so traumatized from being eliminated in New Orleans on the New Orleans leg.
That U-turn was unfair. It ruined my life.
I'll still always remember her and her dad and the other two Schroeders on the four-person bicycle going down, I think it's the Talladega Speedway or something like that, and like her complaining the entire time. If only I had realized this was like the birth of a awful, awful reality star that would soon come back into my life seven years later.
Yeah, be nice to everybody because you never know who's going to be an awful Bravo star in the future.
Yeah.
So what else from this show?
I can't quite remember. I liked how like Lisa was bagging on Jax, and it is hilarious how she insists the reason why she keeps them all around is because there's like a family dynamic. It's like, no, it's because the producers are making you keep them on staff.
Yeah, and she acts like she actually works there, which you know she comes in every day and brings flowers and goes home.
Yeah,
she's like, well, you know, I have to schedule them at different times. I'm like, bitch, you are not sitting down marrying catch-ups and writing a schedule. Get out of here.
Catch-ups.
You know? You are not rolling silver. Shut up, Lisa. Yeah. But I love how Lisa is on this show, where she's just telling everybody off and calling them out on every single little thing. She's like, you have no remorse. You're a terrible person.
I'll see you at work tomorrow.
Yeah, see you tomorrow, darling. Keep your shirt off.
Yeah. By the way, one thing I would not want my employees to be like would be to have no remorse, because that means they will fuck up and not care.
Well, you know what? She's in West Hollywood. They're bartenders. If they work out and shave their foreheads, they can keep their jobs.
That's true.
There's not very many qualifications.
Yeah.
That's why they have like 20 waiters on the floor for 5 tables. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
So they've got like a staff of 20 people when there's like 5 tables, because they're all so inept.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you 5, you'll be taking table full.
Well, I think I mentioned on this podcast, because I went last month for Lisa Timmons' birthday. We did happy hour there. And excuse me, it was a sneeze. I'm like allergic to Vanderpump Rules gossip. But we were there, and our friend Marcos kept on having to get up from the table to go fetch our things, our drinks, because no one was bringing them over to us. And so he was wearing black, and he was walking around with like multiple drinks, and someone on the staff thought he actually worked at Sir and like asked him to bus a table.
Oh my God.
It was like Job at the country club on Arrested Development.
And then Kristen came out and fucked him.
Yeah, she's like, sorry.
Sorry.
Like, I don't know why.
You're a bus boy. Sorry.
I don't know. Like, Marcos needed to get laid, so sorry.
I thought Marcos would be better at getting bread to the table if his dick wasn't full of stuff. So I emptied it for him. What? I did it for my job.
Sorry. Slowed him down. Sorry. Seriously.
I owe you a condom, Tom.
Here are 2 of your condoms, Tom.
Oh, and I love how pop culture influences things. Like, Pretty Woman has really changed so much in our life. Like, you know, they're saying, well, we didn't kiss, which that would have really made it worse. Like, what are you fucking... Pretty Woman? Give me a break. I mean, what does that matter? You don't kiss. Like, that's from a movie. That doesn't even matter. Shut up.
Yeah, and I like the way that Kristen also piled onto that, because Jax is one who's like, yeah, I didn't kiss because I didn't want it to be, because I thought it would be, it's more personal to kiss. And she's like, yeah.
I agree. I
totally agree. I'm being very serious about this.
I'm being very seriously. I'm saying this seriously.
Seriously? I'm being serious.
So we're basically putting Vanderpoop Drools to bed.
I'm so sad. I wish Carlton could cast a spell much like the one she cast on Kyle's computer.
Oh my God.
To resurrect this show immediately.
Oh, we didn't bring that up. So Kyle,
no, we forgot to. That was my way of bringing it back.
Yeah, so Carlton, Kyle thinks Carlton's a witch because her screensaver was popping out all these words like,
wrath.
I have them here somewhere. Wraith. Which bigot. Is a spirit. Bigot. What was the other one? Travesty, which, I mean, anybody who's seen Kyle's back fat spilling over her dress size is too small.
You know, it's just a pissed off PA who just had to do this. Well, at this point, the producers are now just like fucking with these women. Like, oh, if you piss off Carlton, we're going to slip a roofie into your drink to make you sick. Or we're going to like change your screensaver. And I like how like they know with Kyle, all they have to do is change a screensaver to get her totally spooked. Like, they're like, with Joyce, okay, she's probably seen things in Puerto Rico. We got to go heavy with Joyce. Kyle, we'd be like, we're going to change out the mouse pad. Kyle's like, it's so weird. I've always had this SpongeBob mouse pad that I got free from an event. And now the mouse pad that's there, it's from Starbucks. I don't get it.
Now I have a mouse pad with, you know, a slave driver on it. It's like, shut up, bigot. Stupid Kyle. Like a witch burning on it.
I would like to see more accusations come from mundane objects in Kyle's life. She's like, my fax machine, which I haven't used in 8 years, came to life, and it faxed out the word mean.
That's Kyle's favorite word. I'm surprised she hasn't used it that much this season. That's mean. Now that's mean. That's mean.
Do we think that perhaps maybe Kyle actually wrote those things on her screensaver?
Yeah.
Or although that also implies
probably
that she
gonna fuck with her.
Well, I was gonna say that also implies that she knows how to change her screensaver.
That's true.
It's never probably mind. Her kids.
It's probably Mauricio. He's like, maybe if she's busy, I can get out to Phil.
Isn't that
she
like?
Won't notice. Hey, babe, I'm gonna be on the computer for a second.
Is that like gas lamping? Whatever. What is it like?
Gas lamp? Yeah, or gaslighting? Yeah.
Gaslighting when you make someone think they're crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if someone gaslights Kyle Richards, that would be amazing.
Well, they've done that to Kim her whole life. I honestly believe that she's been gaslighting Kim her whole life.
Yeah. She probably thought Witch Mountain was a real place for the first 30 years of her life. Okay, so let's move on to Atlanta. Speaking of gaslighting.
So which one?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Well, we got another Candy crying scene this week.
Oh, yeah. If you're breaking up with me, then you had better tell Don Juan, and he's gonna go in on you.
See? I love that Don Juan is always ready to cut a bitch. Like, he could be at Disneyland, and he's ready to shank somebody. He always looks so upset and so ready to tell somebody off. It's like, dude, what are you mad about? We're at an audition. Like, there's all you have to do is sit there. There is no reason to be this upset.
He looks like, which one's the cat in Tom and Jerry? Is that Tom or is that Jerry? He looks like the cat.
The cat is Tom, I believe.
Tom. He Tom looks like cat. Tom, like when he's like when Tom's angry because he can't get Jerry. That's what he looks like. He sort of has that, like, he has like a cartoon kitty cat face. It's like scowling, you know.
He just always looks like he should be a bobblehead with like a finger that's always waving, like, oh no, you didn't.
But you know what, though? Let me tell you something. I'm almost 100% always on Don Juan's side. I'm always like, yeah, he's right.
Me too. Because he's the only critical thinker in the whole group of these dumb dumbs.
He's like, you know? He's like, why are you putting on a musical when there's no script and you're doing it in 10 days and you're paying $40,000 for the theater?
He's like,
she's like, see, now, I was thinking about having it at Riley's stage in a bedroom, but see, now, she's having her own performance there, so see, we gotta rent out a theater.
So we got to see Candy's audition process, which was hilarious, because I don't know when they got a script, but somehow they had pages for Portia to read, and her lines were like, wow, y'all, I really love hot dogs. Like, really, that's your play? That is in your plan.
I would see that because you know what? I love hot dogs too, and I would totally identify.
And I love that Portia couldn't even remember it. She's like, hi, everybody. Oh, thank you so much for having me to your barbecue. I love. No. Do I have to stay on the words? And they're like, yeah, stay to the script. She's like, hot dog, grilled hot dogs.
No, what I loved is that at one point she starts like, she's saying something completely different. She's like, oh, you want me to stay on script? As if like she's going off script, like a talented improviser. Not that she just completely messed up the lines.
Yeah, they're like, okay, Will Ferrell. Okay, Kristen Wiig, you just do whatever you want. Let's see if it works. We'll just do multiple takes.
Off script with Portia.
I will say that it was pretty interesting that Portia's somewhat talented.
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I thought she actually read the lines. When she got them right, she was actually okay, and
I mean,
she redeemed herself.
Hot dogs, but yeah, you know,
and she redeemed herself with the singing. So good for you, Portia.
Yeah, she could actually sing. So there you go. There you have it. Some
I was happy.
Talent.
I was happy to see some redemption in her life.
If the rumors are true and she's fired, Candy's not going to be very happy because she was trying to cast someone who could bring exposure.
Well, I'm sure this production is going to air before the end of the season.
No way. You think so? Do they have that much time? It takes so much time to put together a production.
No, but haven't you been following that? They keep saying, like, well, there's not a lot of time left. Da, da, da. And you know what? I have to say, I'm liking the cast. You got Eddie Levert. You have some lady. And there was someone else on the cast. I was like, oh, interesting.
Jack Hay's not in it. I don't care.
It wasn't Jack Hay. There was someone. It was like, I feel like it was an 80s sitcom star. And by the way, to take it back to Frozen, I noticed in the ending credits that Edie McClurg was one of the voices of Frozen.
I love Edie McClurg.
Did you see that? Did you see she's in Frozen?
No, like, who was she in it?
I don't know, but I just want everyone to know that Mrs. Poole is still working, and she's working with Disney.
You know what's kind of shocking? She's kind of full of herself, that Edie McClurg. I did an improv show after her, or before her, because I came back and she was in the green room, and she was like, honey, do you know where the celebrity the celebrity parking is? And I was like, really, bitch? No, Ronnie, Edie. You're in fucking Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood, okay? There is no celebrity parking, dumb.
No offense, Ronnie, but right now you're very Brandy Glanville.
Like, how's
because
the
cleric
girl
is
from
Lisa
Small
Vanderpump,
Wonder,
okay?
You fucking loser.
Just, you can't take down the fave, okay, just to become the fave.
Taking down. I want to be the next Edie McClurg. I'm going to take that bitch down. I'm going to call the girl from Small Wonder right now. Actually, my favorite Edie McClurg. Actually, she didn't seem mean. She was just kind of full of herself, which I guess isn't a shock. But my favorite thing that she was in was that movie Elvira, Queen of the Dark, Queen of the Night. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Good job, Edie McClurg. You keep on entertaining us, even with things from the past.
Yeah. So anyway, I completely derailed the conversation there. The point is, this musical is happening soon, and there's someone in the cast that I'm like really excited about, but I can't remember who it is, so therefore, I made a totally unimportant observation.
I am reading Facebook comments to see what people want to talk about here.
Well, I'll talk... Okay, while you read that, I'm going to talk about how really this episode is about Nini being ridiculous, okay? Nini's got to get over herself a little bit. So
a little bit. Oh my God. Okay, this goes to show you just are who you are. You can try to be whoever you want to be. You can read a self-help book and say, I'm going to be this person. Listen, you can get a better job, you can get a nicer car, you can get a better boyfriend, but your ass is always going to be the same ass you was 10 years ago, and Nini is walking proof of that. She just cannot help herself. She is just the biggest fucking asshole on any of these shows. She is so full of herself, and no matter how hard she tries, it just keeps, that moose just keeps like breaking out the gate and stomping everybody down. She cannot help herself.
Absolutely, because what happened was that Kenya decided to throw a masquerade ball, and the proceeds of it were going to go towards Nini, one of Nini's favorite charities. It was Kenya's way of, it was really the first time I've ever seen fundraising used in a passive-aggressive way. But at the same time, fundraising is fundraising, and whether she does it to be obnoxious or whether she does it to be nice, it doesn't matter because the money's going to the right place. Allegedly, although someone just posted on our page, it was Erica Peets, hi Erica, that Saving Our Daughters did not receive any money from Kenya Moore's charity event. So, oopsies.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's really not much of a shock.
Okay, so here's the thing. So Kenya sends out an evite to this masquerade ball, and by the way, What a way to really bring in the big bucks than by sending out an evite to your donors, right? You know, because if there's anything that old money does, it's pays attention to evite.
Well, you know what? I think that you can see who's opened it. I think that's how everybody should do everything now, because I'm never going to send a paper invitation again. If I can see that your ass has opened it and not replied, I'm using evite for everything.
Oh, it's been like that for years, like at least 10 years it's been like that.
I didn't know. I love it.
Yeah. Well, so that's what happened. Everyone opened up the evite, including Nini, or perhaps Nini's assistant or manager. And then Nini acted like she didn't know about it. So maybe she didn't know about it. Maybe her assistant did open it up, in which case the assistant should be receiving all the wrath, not Kenya.
Because Nini's, like, even beyond that, she's saying, this bitch should have called me and apologized and groveled. And if she's going to have a ball for me, I at least need to know what to wear. It's like...
Yeah.
You know, she wants to be thrown a proper ball. You know, it's like that's her thinking.
She's like the Edie McClurg of Atlanta.
She's like, where's the celebrity parking?
Where's the celebrity ball parking at? Edie McClurg's like, I didn't get the evite.
hey, neighbor, I didn't get the evite.
But you know, I mean, to be fair, Kenya is not innocent. Okay, don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
Kenya should have reached out to Nini a little bit more aggressively. And furthermore, when the event finally did come, and Nini showed up with a sourpuss on her face, or with a sourpuss, I suppose you could say, Kenya totally put her on the spot. Was like, and now I want to have Nini come up here and say a few words. That is shady. Like, you don't make someone speak at an event without warning them ahead of time. But I was laughing my ass off. I was like, ooh, Kenya.
Well, you know, this is why Kenya is one of the highest paid housewives in only her second season. She's almost getting $1 million a season, which is unheard of for your second season of being a housewife. It is because she knows how to play. I mean, she is bringing Nini down. Like, Nini had that facade this whole season, and she pretty much kept it up until recently, even though she cracked a couple times when she yelled at people, but she was kind of in the right. But Kenya knew how to break her down, and she broke her down. That was amazing. Like, she made her lose it in front of a whole group of people on national TV, in front of a charity.
In front of one of her charities, which she then was like, well, one of many charities that I support. Here's what Kenya did that was so impressive. She made me take Peter's side in an argument, okay? Because Peter basically went in on Nini and was like, you acted like a fool.
Yeah,
and
I
was
like, we gotta go, babe.
But why does Peter want to leave? Here's what doesn't make any sense to me. Peter wants to leave. Like, wouldn't wouldn't the logical thing to be to show some sort of solidarity for this charity, not to leave in the middle? Like, ugh, I can't stand Peter. I hate him.
Well, I think he was saying he has to leave because he doesn't want to tell Nini off, because he knows that if you start something with Nini in a fundraiser, that she's going to start screaming and yelling, which is what she would do.
Yeah.
And go crazy on him, and it would ruin the night. He's saying, just get me the fuck out of here. And also, I'm sure it was boring as hell. It looked like there were 10 people at that whole thing.
I know.
and no food. I didn't see any food. And I think that there was probably like Charles Barkley wine. God, that is cheap. That is a cheap Shaw. Party. Charles Shaw, $2 wine. Chuck wine. Yeah.
I wonder if Carrie from Married to Medicine organized the party and got the wrong sort of cake, got a sheet cake for the entire party.
I don't appreciate how everybody stood around the pool during the party.
Like common whores. I've had a 30-year struggle with getting sheet cakes at parties. And Duncan does not appreciate a sheet cake at a party. Duncan. So I gave my sheet cake to Kenya Moore for her party.
Well, you've heard the terrible news, right? That she got fired from Married to Medicine.
Is that official? It seems crazy.
Mariah said, because it's Mariah's show. She's a producer on the show. Fired Carrie.
So stupid to fire her. Stupid.
That is sad. But this Kenya Moore thing. Okay, so Nini loses it and acts like a total idiot when she's giving her speech. She gets up there and she's like, what did she even say? It was like two sentences.
She goes, like, Saving Our Daughters is one of many charities that I support. Thank you very much. Save Our Daughters is one of many charities that I support. And then she just walks away.
And then basically drops the mic and walks away.
And no, first she goes, it's surprising how many friends I have that I don't even know about. And Saving Our Daughters is one of many charities.
What does that mean? How many friends I don't know about?
Because Kenya is saying like she's her friend, whatever.
Whatever.
It was so poor. It was like, ugh, fuck you, Nini. Just when I was starting to like you again.
Yeah, she's a horrible human being, but still funny. And I, you know, I'm really impressed because it looks like, especially Beverly Hills, that show, I mean, those people who cast that show really fucked up this year. Joyce and Carlton are both awful. No one wants to know a damn thing about them. They're idiots. Neither one of them are truly as rich as they need to be on that show. To keep it as classy as it, well... I say classy with air quotes, as it was. I mean, they really fell down. But Atlanta does not fall down. When they have to make new casting decisions, I mean, those people know what they're doing. Phaedra, great. Mm-hmm. She's turned out to be great. And now she's going to be a criminal, which is even greater. And they finally found somebody who can bring down Nini, which is amazing. Because Nini is one of those people who wins every fight by being the loudest and talking over everybody. And that's how Kenya wins fights, too. So I cannot wait to watch this play out. I think, casting, you deserve a pat on the back.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is the first time in a long time I've been excited to see how the season wraps up. And when are they going to go on vacation? And where are they going to go? It seems like that's like, is that even going to happen? I feel like we're so deep down into the season. Vacation's got to come up soon.
Oh, because, like, yeah, I'm thinking they just went on vacation, but that was last season, which seems like it was just on, right?
Yeah, they have not gone on vacation yet. I mean, Beverly Hills is going to vacation this coming week, and Beverly Hills and Atlanta, I think, premiered the same week.
Yeah, they were, like, a week or two apart. Yeah, and that's another thing about Beverly Hills. Kyle is cutting Carlton out of the group trip. Oof.
Yeah.
That is so
But you know what, though? Good for her. Good for Kyle.
Good for her, but it's that's not really... That's the bitchy Kyle that we like. I know that Kyle, it's like Kyle's pretending it's her and Joyce's trip, but that is the cast trip that everybody is required to go on every year. So for her to cut Carlton out is basically just getting her fired.
But you know what, though? That's the bitchy Kyle that we like. That's the bitchy Kyle that we want. So, and it is also, by the way, speaking of manipulative, could there be anything more manipulative than having everyone on the trip except for Carlton?
To get her kicked off the show. I mean, that's how Kyle works. She's like the biggest fucking puppet master. Of course, she's terrible at it. But it worked in this case because Carlton did get fired. So, of course, I think she got fired more because of her old-ass vagina talk than anything else.
Yeah.
And her stupid fake witch religion. Oh, but I love that Kyle was like, oh, you know, don't you think that's anti-Semitic? I mean, her religion's stupid. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
Like, really? Do you hear yourself? Okay, seriously? Enough with Beverly Hills. Seriously? That's so pissed me off that I keep going back to it. All right, let's,
should we, I mean, what else happened on Atlanta?
Well,
I mean,
you got a voicemail. Check your voicemail.
I got a voicemail?
Yeah,
oh.
Check it.
Oh, I'm sure I did. Let me go check it right now. Hold on 1 second. I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling up my voicemail. This is me vamping as I pull up my voicemail.
Bloop.
Bloop. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Man, what you doing? What you think you doing calling Crystal? I will tear your ass up. I will drag your ass down the street. That is wrong, man. You call Crystal, you low down heifer.
Low down heifa.
Low down.
Mama Joyce, will you marry me? That was the best fucking thing I'd ever seen. You low down heifa. That almost tops that Color Purple line.
You just a big old heifa.
It's like, okay. Squeak is all grown up and she's turned into Mama Joyce.
I have to say, for me, I was going to say Mama Joyce has turned into Angelica Houston from The Grifters, you know, like a low rent Angelica Houston. You know, she's like, she's not putting out hits on anyone. She's just trying to trap them in.
Well, she does look like she was beat with a bag of oranges. I'll give her that.
Yeah. I mean, she's, she is definitely up to some evil plans. She tried to trap Todd, tried to get someone named Benny to trap Todd in like, with another lady and take pictures of it. It's real. It's like, this is like Julie Cooper on the OC kind of shit that's going on.
Yeah,
right here.
This is really bad. I mean, she is really going off the deep end. She's trying to get one of the friends to get pictures of Todd misbehaving so she can get them broken up. That is so, so wrong and gross. And poor Candy is still trying to stick up for her.
She's like, you know, people will leave. She's like, see now, people will leave, but Mama will always be there. I'm like, Candy, no, Mama is not there for you at all, in fact, you know, and you're actually pushing away the people who would be there for you forever.
Yeah, your mom isn't there for you. The only time your mom is there for you is when you've changed the PIN to her, you know, allowance account.
There's only one person that's going to be there for Candy, and you know who it is? Riley. See, now, Riley's here for me on our stage in a bedroom. See, now.
You low down heifer.
See, now, Mama, when you leave a voicemail like that, like, yeah, I thought we were over this, Mama. I thought we was over this, Mama.
Yeah, I truly believe, you know, when you get married, your spouse wins. That's just how it is. Your family no longer gets to control you. You have a new person holding your nuts, and it's your spouse.
Yeah.
And that's it. Your mom loses. And frankly, if that was my mom, she'd be in a home, and I'd cut her ass off if she acted like that. In fact, that's already my plan of action, and my mom's gonna have to do really nice things for me not to do that. How do you like that? My mom is gonna have to pay for Mama Joyce's mistakes, is what I'm saying. Mama Joyce has ruined it for mothers everywhere.
Yeah.
My mother is not getting a cut of my unemployment checks until she does something nice for me.
Never.
So we're done now. Now that, that was a great voicemail in.
You know, I have another voicemail.
Oh, okay. Wait,
beep. Beep.
Please, Gretchen, shut up. Shut up. You're stupid.
That's so funny. I don't know why Vicky left me a voicemail.
Shut up, Gretchen. You're stupid.
Wait. I have actually a voicemail from Candy, believe it or not. Wait, let me listen to this voicemail from Candy.
If I say something about you, Nanny's like, oh, she just, you know what I mean?
Oh, wait, hold on. I have a voicemail coming in from Reza. Bloop.
I was a prisoner, but now I'm free!
How fun is that? You know, Persian people love to leave a voicemail, but like white people are like, text me!
My crew parties like no other crew ever crewed before.
Listen, your crew parties by getting fucking wasted in a hotel room like every other fucking crew in the entire world.
Exactly. You knocked down a door. Congratulations. Yeah. Welcome to being 22 and in Cancun.
Your friend threw a plate on the ground. You guys are just too much, you crazy kids.
We are, of course, talking about the Shaws of Sunset season finale, where everyone, except for Lily, of course, went to Palm Springs to celebrate something or another. And Reza asked Adam to marry him, or as this is actually how it went, will you marry me?
I was like,
Adam, will you marry me?
I mean, I know you're not into working out, but you can't even get on a knee. Like, you're going to sit at the fucking table and not even get on a knee. Like, come on, man. Do this right, you lazy fuck. Get on your damn knee. If you can't do it in the living room or somewhere where you can kneel on a couch. I mean, Jesus Christ, make an effort. Adam's such a sucker.
I know. He really is. He really is. So
and
not
I love that. I love that his, okay, this is Reza's reasons for wanting to get married.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure, but, you know, he really puts up with me and he listens to me. And when I have problems, he takes care of me and he gives me food. And there's always pudding, and he's good with sliders, and he doesn't mind the hair on my back.
It's like, is there anything about Adam that you like? Like, is there any reason that you're in love with him that doesn't have to do with shit that he does for you? Like, he's basically marrying this guy because he's a sucker and will do anything Reza says. Like, that's so romantic.
Well, one thing that I really like about Adam is that, like, he sort of tastes like a dry cookie. And, you know, Persians love a dry cookie. So, like, that's a really cool thing about Adam. And then when I think about him, it reminds me that I really have to have more compassion because I need to be free. I need to be free.
I need to be free. Oh, so, you know, I watch his show on protest. I fucking hate it. But so I haven't watched most of the season. But I always watch it like a week later because I get desperate because The Good Wife is not on right now. Like, my shows are still in repeats. That's my excuse. But anyway, I did watch last week's Shaws of Sunset, the last week they had in Turkey, I guess it was. Oh my God. Reza was hilarious in that episode, trying to make all of Iran's problems his own. It's like, like, you know, there's people getting fucking murdered over there, and it's all about, like,
well, you know, we were so close to the border, and I thought, if they knew, they would kill me. I could die at any minute. I mean, we were on the ground that they could walk on. They could see me from the tower. They could have shot me from the tower.
It's like, dude, do you understand what is going on around you that has nothing to fucking do with you, you narcissistic asshole? Get out of here. Get out of this country. And he's like, I broke up with Iran. We were on a date. We were dating. And I was like, should I get back together with her? And then I was like, no, we broke up. And I'm like, and Iran, I'm sure, is really fucking sad about that. Get out of here, Reza, you a-hole.
I know. I think Iran actually made out better in that divorce. Like, Iran got to keep the house. He got to keep the fish tank.
Iran won.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give that one to Iran.
Iran didn't gain 50 pounds after you broke up. I think that's an automatic lose.
Yeah. Meanwhile, poor Lily. I mean, there's no way she can last on this show. You know, they gave her, like, a token 5 minutes. Not even. On the finale, and it was like this very sad scene of her ordering Chinese food. She's like,
well, I'm home now, and, like, you know, I'm like, gonna have Chinese food, and that's what we do. I'm gonna call food for nutter, butter, flutter, gutter for some Google Grand Pan.
That scene was hilarious. They show her walking into her apartment all alone, and her dog is running around in circles like her little retarded dog. I'm sorry, people don't like that word. Her little circle-tarded dog running around in circles, and she's like,
let's order some food, nutter, butter, slaughter, daughters.
And then it's like sad music playing while we watch Lily eat by herself.
I know, and the truth is that she probably has it best. She's like,
yes, and then they cut back to those horrible heathens, like, throwing up all over each other, and, like, MJ's saggy tits. Like, really? Who's the loser here? Why is the sad music playing? It should be like...
It's like, yes, I would rather be eating Chinese food from wherever she ordered it from than to be sitting around a table listening to Mike condescend to me about who knows what.
Yeah. Or Reza making it all about him.
I ordered Chinese food once, and it was mad at me because I was gay, so I broke up with it. Now I'm free!
Like, this, like, the Chinese food that Lily is eating is, like, it's, like, so amazing because, like, homeboy can't eat Chinese food. Like, I can't do that. So for Lily to eat the Chinese food is almost like an insult to me. So that's how I feel about it. I don't know.
She basically made her own bed when she decided that she wasn't going to get back together with the group. I mean, she made the decision. We saw her make it, but I don't know. She was bad casting in the first place. All these people actually knew each other. Yeah. And it's almost like after season one, they were like, okay, listen, Ryan Seacrest, your show did okay, but everyone on it's basically ugly. So get someone with some big tits so people will watch this shit. And he's like, okay, you know, I know some Persian with big tits. And so they hired Lily. It's like, how does this make any sense?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, the other reason that Lily's probably doesn't care about any of this is because she's used the show for what she needs it, which is to raise her profile and to hang in celebrity circles. Because if you follow her Instagram or anything, you see she hangs out with all sorts of like random D-level celebrities, like the kind that are like above Shaw's of Sunset. So she's got what she needs out of it. She's fine. I even just saw someone posted a picture of her from a magazine, like a glamour shot sort of thing. She's in magazines, even if they're small magazines, she's in them. She doesn't need these fools.
Yeah, she's going to be paid to go to events, and that's basically why you do a Bravo show.
Yeah, and I don't know. I actually like Lily a lot, so I'm sort of bummed to see her marginalized so much. But who knows? Maybe she'll get feisty on the reunion.
Well, it's like they did it on purpose. They cast this kind of bimbo-ish girl so she could get eaten alive in this group, you know? And that's exactly what happened. And she was, you know, you got to hand it to her that she's at least mature enough to be like, why would I hang out with people who hate me and who are mean to me? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
And I have to say, I had this awful thought. I think it would happen maybe during the Vanderpump Rules reunion where someone said something like, nobody likes you. Or I think she said it to Ariana. I think Kristen said it to Ariana, like, nobody likes you. And then everyone was like, no, everyone likes Ariana. Everyone likes da-da-da-da. I was like, you know what? Even the Vanderpump Rules kids know how to defend a friend. And the Shaws did not.
Yeah, and I love that Reza's whole thing was, well, you know, after the reunion, you never even called me. You never even made an effort. She's like, yeah, because you guys said that you weren't my friends. Like, why would I call you? Like,
yeah, hello? Why would she call? Yeah, exactly. That's so stupid. He's so stupid.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. That guy's ridiculous. And they're going to be, I'm sure, picked up and be back again. They do really well, but ugh, that show.
I hope that they bring back Sasha, at least for the reunion.
This is America! This is the reunion! Sit down, shut up, and get me out of bankruptcy.
Can't believe he's going bankrupt. That's so crazy.
I know. Thomas Kramer, for everyone who's wondering what the hell we're doing.
So we need to decide what show we are going to watch. Because
what about Blood, Sweat, and Heels?
Oh, my God. There's more. God. Jesus, you know, Bravo. Okay. We don't even need a new show. But I was going to say we have to watch that Southern Charm show because I'm watching it. Please watch
it. Fine. I'll watch it. But I'm also watching Blood, Sweat, and Heels. We won't get into it today.
Because we can get into it. I watched it. You know, as well. Why not?
Okay, so whose side are you on? Micah or Brie?
Micah deserved an apology more. Micah always acted like an asshole. She needs to take responsibility for being drunk. But yes. Brie, even though she's correct, Brie saying, well, if my parents died, it would be different because my parents and I have a relationship and she didn't even have a relationship with her father. That is not cool. Like, she's right that Micah is totally using that as an excuse for her bad behavior. And she is also right that Micah jetted out of that relationship and only tried to mend it to be back on TV, which is also true. But to say that out loud, like, I'm a horrible human being and I can say it. I'm not one of her friends. Like, what a horrible thing to say. That was just not nice. Yeah. And then she turned on her friend. And if your friend was an alcoholic, I'm sure she didn't just start drinking. So you've accepted this for years, but now you're with these heifers who think that they're so smart and you're totally falling for it. And those girls are just horrible.
I can't decide if I love Brie or hate Brie. Because on the one hand, she is this like prissy, spoiled brat of a girl who like talks about how her family comes from old money and has ties to the community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, I want to hate her for that, but then I also kind of want to love her for that, you know? I think that, and I of course love Micah. I think that you're right. I think that Micah did owe Brie an apology because she did come into that place like a drunk mess. She did. She was a drunk mess. And even if she did say, I wanted to come in there and have fun, you still came in wasted and made people wait for you. And that is, you should apologize for that. Brie should apologize for being cold and for being unsympathetic to the situation and for being like a prissy bitch about it.
Yeah, I just wish sometimes. Micah to use it like, oh, well, you were so mean to me. My father died. They didn't know that your father died. And it's like you're bringing... You know, she's using that as an excuse. She is obviously a drunk. You know, she should have been told off the second she went to that girl's work party and was, like, flapping her JJ and screaming and shit. Like, yeah. That needed to be addressed then. I don't know if it's like, you're an alcoholic and we're not... Because, first of all, if you do have a friend who's an alcoholic, you... The worst thing to do is be like, you're an alcoholic, and then treat them like crap and not talk to them. Who does that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like the, it's an attempt at tough love, I think.
Oh, well, they have no love. And that Demetria is so full of herself. I'm like, bitch, you're, again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You have a blog. Sit the fuck down, okay? You have not won the Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, who do you think you are? And she's like, this is my mentor, and I've got all these book deals. I've got 3 book deals. Really? You're writing 3 books at one time? You know what? I'm writing a screenplay and 10 books, and I'm inventing a video game. So that makes me better than everybody else. No, bitch! You are not published! You do not get to brag about being an author. Well, actually, she is published. But, like, you don't have some bestseller that you can act like fucking Mary Higgins Clark. Okay? Just calm down over there, Sydney Sheldon.
Oh, God. You know, by the way, I would like to say I would love to play any video game that you create, Ronnie.
It'll basically be like Lisa manipulating people. She'll bring cookies to people's house, and then we'll watch him shoot her in the head.
Oh, God.
It's going to be fun. Fun game.
Fun times. All right.
But yeah, well, not much happened on that show except for that fight. And, you know, I don't know. Mike is a drunk and Bree's a bad friend. And those two heifers, Wesley Snipes and Demetria, really need to tone it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because they're a little too full of themselves.
Yeah. And then Daisy, Daisy.
Poor Gail King. You want to talk about daddy issues?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, I'm so glad I'm so close to my dad. And then her dad's standing up like, I pray for my daughter. Like, didn't we just hear that you abandoned your daughter until she was an adult, and now she's, like, doing her best to win your approval? That is the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard. And for her to sit there and try and, like, keep it together to pretend that this is, like, her dream come true, oh, it's just another Bravo daddy issue story. Bravo daddy issues.
The love affair continues.
Yes, the love affair with my father that never liked me.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. This was a very fun, spirited podcast, if I do say so myself.
It was a long one. Holy geez. An hour and 30 minutes, y'all. Where did plus a 10-minute Sherry's Berries commercial.
Where did this come from? Plus a rant about Tom Morrow. I mean, this is really out of control. The only thing missing was a song.
I think the Tom Morrow thing really set us off.
That got the tone just right for this.
That's never how you should start a podcast.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. It got me like amped up, ready to go. It got me fired up. It got me like made me feel like Edie McClure going through the regular people's entrance.
Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens and on Twitter at whatcrappens. Find B-Side at all of his social media networks at B-Side Blog. His blog at bsideblog.com. And what were you going to say?
I was going to say, and if you want to see my celebrity name-dropping things, you can go onto my Instagram and see my latest photo, which is very celebrity name-droppy.
Oh, okay. And that's instagram.com/bsideblog.
Yes.
And I'm Ronnie. You can find me at trashtalktv.com. There's a bunch of really talented recappers over there making funny recaps. I write Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps every Monday. Come read them. And I don't care if you follow me anywhere because I don't really do that stuff anyway. Okay. Thanks so much, everybody. Talk later. Buy your Sherry's Berries.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
To the insurance company that did me wrong. I've moved on. I'm happily insured with another. Bless your pee-picking heart. It was just never meant to be betwixt us. You gave me automobile insurance apprehension. And Geico has come along and in just 15 minutes given me new car insurance and made me as jubilant as a newborn lamb in springtime. And Paul has given Geico his approval. That's one thing you never had. Joyful with another. Clara May in Columbia.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me. takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.